pre-show officially here for Friday. You caught me midway through a little. All I'm doing is I'm looking for camera four, which of course is our. Yes, there it is. The ocean. The El Pacifico behind me. So, hi, it's Phil, and here we are. Got the fan on again. I always caution that in case you think there's something wrong with your audio. There isn't. It's just there's this little tiny fan that we use, which you probably have seen from time to time, just off the camera here. I am wanting to just, I wanted to share something. This show and tell. This is a show and tell here. This is just a sketch that was done of me by my friend Doug Baldwin of Encino, Sherman Oaks. I forget where Doug is living right now with his, I say right now, I mean, he's been living with his lady for quite some time. She's a recording engineer. Doug is himself in the sales field, but he has always been a very talented artist. And I've known him since we were both 12 years old. He's always been a really skillful with the ink and the pen and the paste, and he's drawn some really funny and surreal shit. But I think he's a pure artist. He doesn't give a shit, you know, about selling or anything. And this is just really simple. I mean, he does just amazing stuff. He does really comic stuff. Give an example of one that Doug did. which is, to this day, is still my favorite one. It's of a nun and very beautifully drawn. Kind of a big eye style. Doug has a little bit of a big eye style, I would say. You know, that big eyes bullshit. But I wouldn't say he's that kind of an artist. But it's this nun, and she's just got her hands folded in front of her, and she's staring right into your eyes as you look at the picture. And underneath it, he captioned, "Did you wipe?" Question mark. And he hung that behind, obviously, the toilet at his house. So, actually, he did hang that behind the toilet at his house, and then he gave it to my late friend Paul Compton, who hung that above the toilet at his house. That's probably my favorite Doug Baldwin creation, but I don't know what happened to that one. Honest to God, I don't. And but he's a really talented guy, and he had sketched that. We were playing poker, and, you know, I mean, it's a special thing because it's a friend of mine. It's always nice when people, you know, will give you a gift like this, but hey, man, wrong, dude. What's up with this, man? He sketched this when we were playing poker over at Don and Pam's new place. And it was awesome, you know. And I said, oh, wow, man, you know, that's pretty cool. So he emailed it to me. And I said, because years ago, about 30 years ago, I said to him, I was renting this apartment and I had a big fucking wall that was bare. And I said to him, man, I'll pay you if you'll, you know, paint something that'll cover that, you know, that wall. I said, I'll pay your materials and I'll pay you, you know. But like I said, he's not really a guy motivated by bread, and the inspiration had to be there for him, and it really wasn't. So here we are all these years later. And I said, and he did that sketch, and I said, wow, you know, God, if you do that 10 by 10 or something, I don't even think I asked for that one. I said, would you do me something 10 by 10 for my wall? I said, you know, remember when you were going to do that? And he said, then he sent me an email, said, what's your shipping address? It ain't 10 by 10, but, you know, and I got that. So I'm very, very gratified by that, Doug, my buddy, my brother. All right. Let's see. And his name is Doug Baldwin, the same as the wide receiver who is of some note in these most recent days. Although he is, Doug Baldwin, my friend, is the more famous of the two in my world, you know. but Doug Baldwin, the wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks, of course, is a very well-known Doug Baldwin. All right. We're going to do our show, but what we're going to do, I have no motherfucking clue. I've been trying to catch up on sleep, man. Really had a brutal day yesterday because of the session that we had to do, the ADR looping. And one of the problems is very simply this. And I know I don't think I probably bitch about this as much as I could, but you know, the El Pacifico here, our studios are located a good 40 miles from LA, which is not so bad. 40 miles from the valley where I do most of my work. That's not so bad were it not for the fucking traffic, of course. Now, there are days when the traffic is very light. And by very light, I mean, you know, it's kind of normal. And you can get into town in an hour, maybe even 50 minutes. But on the days where there's fucked up traffic, like yesterday, for instance, there was traffic as soon as I got at the past the 405 and got onto the Hollywood. And then as you approach the Hollywood, there's all this fucking traffic going into Hollywood and into Los Angeles. And then the other one is the 134 that goes along the Glendale and Burbank and hooks up with the Foothill Freeway. That's where I was going, because we're going into we're going up to North Hollywood where those recording studios were, where Salami Studios are located. And it gets really jammed up in there. So, you know, it's a motherfucker, man. I'm here to tell you it is a motherfucker. Now, there's a movie on right now on TCM. Is this the one with Henry Fonda? Jesus Christ, I am. It's called Swarm. No, it's Richard Widmark. Are you serious? It's a horror movie with Michael Caine, Catherine Ross, and Richard Widmark. A scientist and an Air Force general trick killer bees away from Houston. Will you get out of here? I thought Henry Fonda was in this. Now here's some slow-mo. So the mom and the dad are getting eaten by bees. And this is back in the 70s when there were killer bees. This was the thing. Killer bees had made their way to Africa, or made their way up from Africa, or somewhere. And they were and this opening scene in this movie is so utterly jive. These two people, the mother and the father, are killed by the swarm of bees. The kid's the only one. Oh, look at this. The dad's just covered in bees. Like they're feasting on the guy. How'd they do that, man? That's pretty special effects shit. Anyway, so here we are. Get set up, man. La-da-da. I'm going to get my ass set up here. Yeah, I was just goddamn. Every goddamn night I'm looking at NFL Access, and it's the same goddamn clip here of, is that Lovie Smith? Who's the, oh, it's Marvin Davis, the head coach of the fucking Bengals. Man. All right. Cameron Mitchell's in this thing? Christ, this is a bad movie. I wonder if the Swarm... Is the Swarm any good? I never even saw it. Richard Widmark. Holy Christ. Must be fucked, man, to... well, I don't want to... I don't even want to go into it. You know what I'm saying? I don't even want to fucking go into it. Having to take a job... Let's just say you're Richard Widmark. You're the great Richard Widmark. You're a guy that... You know, started your career. Richard Widmark started his career. Hey, baby. Thunder's here.
How you doing, Thunder? How you doing, baby? Hi, honey. Hi, babe. How you doing, baby?
Richard Widmark started his career with one of the great character, one of the great portrayals of all time. He played Tommy Udo, I think, is the name of the character, in Kiss of Death. The original Kiss of Death, with Victor Mature and many others. But it was Richard Widmark's Tommy Udo, the gangster, who ties the old lady up in the wheelchair and with electrical cord and then pushes her down two flights of stairs. Up to that point, probably the most horrifically violent scene that had ever been seen in movies. When I saw it on the TV as a kid, and it was like, God damn, you know. To put it into some perspective, and equally, look at this, Fred McMurray and Ben Johnson, this is a star-studded cast for this fucking thing, The Swarm. This is cracking me up. Anyway, Keep in mind, this is the same Ben Johnson who just did Sugarland Express and had just done Last Picture Show. And there's Fred McMurray from Double, and they're in the movie The Swarm from Double. That's Olivia de Havilland. Would you get the fuck out of here? This is what they had to do, man, at the ends of their careers. Did they really need the... Oh, God. Anyway. The Tommy Udo character, man, is so fucking great. And then, you know, I guess I could... Since I'm looking at these characters here, look at these actors, and they're all in this movie, and you're asking yourself, how the hell... But Widmark hit the screen with a bang. I mean, literally. I mean, he hit the fucking screen. People were blown away by this character. And I'm not even going to attempt to do it for you, other than the fact that he had a way of laughing. He just... He had the tongue hanging out. That's just the beginning of that guy's character. And he kills this old lady. And this is a character that just, bam, fucking... That was Richard Widmark's screen debut. You know, that's great. Fucking great. You know? It's fucking great. I mean, it's like, in a lot of ways, it was similar to, like Nicholson, you know, playing that lawyer in Five Easy Pieces, although I don't think it was as dynamic, Nicholson's part, as the Tommy Udo character, or maybe like, Dustin Hoffman, he'd already done The Graduate when Dustin Hoffman did Midnight Cowboy. But to put that wheelchair scene in comparison, there was a scene in The Pianist, the one with Adrian Brody, set in World War II, and they're in the Warsaw Ghetto, and they show the SS go up these stairs and into the home of some Jewish people who they are about to take into custody. And the grandfather, who cannot rise because he's in a wheelchair, his wheelchair with him in it is lifted up by these two SS guys, carried to the balcony, and the guy's thrown off the fucking balcony, wheelchair and all. And that was a stunning fucking scene, man. And that movie's only about 10, 15 years old, maybe 10 years old. And that was a shocking scene for me to see. You know, it's not about gore or blood. It's about the calloused inhumanity of it, you know. So, that was in terms of a disabled person getting killed on screen. I'm sure that people can come up with better ones, you know, but I don't know.
Well, Phil, you know, I remember.
Phil, yeah. Hi, Phil. This is Kurt Queedy.
Yeah, Guy Barton, Phil.
How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing fine. We're listening to. You know, we're listening to all this horse shit you're doing on your show. You know, I love your show, Phil. No question about it. I think your show is real good.
By the way, Bradford Dillman is also in The Swarm. And he's looking very concerned about something. He's wearing an orange jumpsuit. Richard Widmark, Bradford Dillman, Olivia de Havilland, Fred McMurray, Ben Johnson. Who did I also say is here? Catherine Ross. So far, and the movie is called The Swarm. Now, this movie, and behind Bradford Dillman is the standard TV/cheap movie bank of blinking lights and switches that you're supposed to believe are, you know, standard with every command center, you know, B-control military operation or a starship. It doesn't matter. There, the lights are blinking and the switches are there. Oh, Michael Caine. Did I tell you? Michael Caine's in this. I'm not shitting you. Go ahead. Look it up. So far, this movie is getting better, and I haven't heard one fucking bit of dialogue yet. I'm just looking at this parade of aging, but, you know, nonetheless, wonderful actors that I love. Well, let me tell you something.
Yeah, Phil, I know that movie, The Swarm. We saw this now.
I can't understand. Richard Widmark allow himself to be debased.
Well, see, we want to get the vote from you, Phil. I think it'd be a very good thing. Now, we had been at a movie, and I don't want this to turn into some cheap disc jockey bit, you know.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to know. I want to get an honest opinion of your film. I want to get the honest opinion from you. I want to get an honest opinion from you here, Phil. I can only try and get... I want to get an honest opinion right now of what you think. I want to get an honest opinion. Kurt, you want to...
Hey, what are you fuck faces doing?
Hey, don't call me that. Look, General, I put up with all kinds of mess from you, but I'm not going to have you messing all over me. You know what I'm saying? Because of all you niggas, all you...
Well, you just used the N-word. Buddy, all bets are off.
Oh, okay, you're closing the window, huh?
Yes, I'm closing the window. All bets are off. All bets are off the table.
Is that the same thing as closing the window?
Oh, well, you guys forget it.
We want to talk to you about a movie called The Swarm. I don't know if you've seen this. Richard Widmark, Catherine Roth, and it was a slow and a painful process as we've seen these actors come across the screen on a movie about a bee, you know?
Yeah, well, they got this movie, Phil, about live bees, killer bee, coming from Africa, you know? That number one, I think that racist is fucking hell. Goddamn fucking...
All right.
I think that's racist. God damn, is that racist.
All right, let's see. Boy, that Charleston thing, too, just fucking took it out of me, man. You know, I'm a guns rights guy. Always have been. But what's difficult for me is simply when I try to argue, well, gun rights are, you know, should be protected, and look at how much safer we would be if people, you know, actually picked up a gun. And I get it about that. I get it. But it's increasingly difficult to defend a lot of these gun nuts, which a lot of them are, when they won't budge one fucking inch in terms of even their understanding of the problem. You know, Twitter is just as bad a place as Facebook, as far as I'm concerned. At least Facebook, they take time to... you've got enough time to explain your dumbass, you know? And I mean myself as well. Twitter, if anybody that fucking tries to win a Twitter debate, you must be fucking out of your mind. I mean, I try to do it many times, but... the thing with it is, you know, when all it is just gun rights, and you don't even... I'll give you an example. This guy says, you fucking liberals, man, all you guys ever talk about is the causes from society, the causes of bad parenting, the causes of the culture. You never want to just blame the perp. I said, are you kidding me or something, man? You're the motherfuckers. Every time there's a fucking black kid involved in a crime, you talk about his parenting. Every time there's a fucking terrorism, you talk about the Muslim culture and the Quran. Jesus H. Christ, you guys pull all kinds of shit into it. You know, how did it get that gun rights also means being kind of quasi, if not fully zi, racist? How'd that ever fucking happen? Or maybe I'm just reading the most extreme tweets. That's probably what it is. How did it come to be that they're fucking racist motherfuckers? They're into, like, you got to be pro-Christian. What are you talking about, man? You're talking about the Constitution of the United States. Now you're all of a sudden rapping to me about fucking Christianity. I got nothing to fucking do with the Constitution. Maybe gun rights, you're on firmer ground with your gun rights than you are with your goddamn... All right, I got nothing against being a Christian. Just understand, you know, that for a country that, you know, I grew up in the Christian faith. I grew up in the Catholic faith. Figure it's the same thing. A lot of people would disagree, but, all right. And then where does it say that you've got to be against, you've got to be, like, against the central bank. You have to be pro-life. You have to be pro-Christian. Where the fuck does all this shit come from, man? You're talking about gun rights. Stick with that. What the motherfucker is this other bullshit? I got really nuts with that stuff. You know. The Charleston stuff is so absolutely you know, don't fuck with me and tell me, I don't mean you guys, but just there's some of these people out there in the world want to tell me that, you know, America doesn't have a race problem. Holy shit. People woke up to it around Ferguson time, and Twitter was the place where they saw it with their own eyes. You know, I used to see people say, on Twitter, God, I didn't know America was this. I didn't know people were that racist. Fucking hey, motherfucker, where you been? You know, where are you living? You know. Anyway, people get upset with me when I talk this way, but at least I'm not doing it on the air. Is that? It's Henry fucking Fonda. I knew it. Michael Caine and Henry Fonda. Henry Fonda's in this motherfucker. The Swarm. I got to write down all the people that I've seen so far because Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy are going to talk about it. No, not Doug Danger. Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy. Now,
if I have on Guy Barton, Kurt,
how about Doug Danger?
Phil, I'll tell you something.
Are you the newspaper guy?
Yes, I am, sir. My name is Doug Danger, Gay Man, Gay General. All right.
You're a gay man and a gay general?
No, he didn't say a gay general.
Well, that's what it sounded like.
No, I said a gay man and a gay journalist. I would say that The Swarm is a film that features a panoply or a panoply.
So Michael Caine is lifting up Henry Fonda like he's crippled and putting him into a wheelchair. And there's Richard Widmark. And Richard Widmark is dressed like an Air Force captain. And these people, you know, that you could just see these actors showing up on the set every morning trying to do something with this script, you know. That's a lot of fucking firepower, man. That's Henry fucking... All right, so let's see. A show open, non-banking. Then Harvey Weierman. Guy Barton. Now, this movie has in it Henry Fonda, Richard Widmark, Olivia de Havilland, Fred McMurray. I wonder if all these people were under contract to ABC, and so they got them all in this movie, you know? Ben Johnson, Bradford Dillman, Michael Caine. Did I ever say Michael Caine? Michael Caine. Now, what's funny about this movie is fucking Henry Fonda sacrifices his ass to getting stung by these bees, I think. So he puts his ass up on the line, you know. Henry Fonda, in this movie, it's time now for... This is Robert Leonard. It's time now, and I've got with me here Eugene. I got Eustace Bellwether, and I also got a man we haven't heard from in a long time, Daryl Weber. Daryl, how are you?
Hey, let me tell you, I'm doing real good. I'm doing fine. Daryl Weber here. I'm going to do the Daryl Weber. This is going to be the Daryl Weber movie. Now, you got all these people in this movie called The Swarm.
I'm Daryl Weber, and this is The Swarm. I tell you,
I'm Daryl Weber, and this here is the Daryl Weber movie review. I'm going to tell you something. I have never in my life seen anything like this. I saw Fred McMurray. I saw Ben Johnson.
Catherine Ross, right? Yeah. Catherine Ross. Christ, that's... Do, 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 do. Catherine Ross. God, I can't remember who. Oh, okay, great. Here he is. Slim Pickens. You got it. There's another one. Slim fucking, the guy who went, yoo-hoo, in Dr. Strangelove, he's in this. None of these guys are young. They must have got all of these. They just packed the fucking stars into this thing. You know, Ben Johnson, Fred McMurray, Henry Fonda, Richard Widmark, The Swarm. Jesus. They probably told him this is going to be a defining... And none of you have credibly done science fiction. None of you have credibly done science fiction. All right. Daily audio. Going for our helicopter sound effect here. I was your agent for many years, Richard. Yes, I know. And I tried to save your career. I tried to let you down easy. When they wanted you to do Killdozer, I said no. Well, I said no. I said no, didn't I? Yeah, you did. All right. When they wanted you to do that that other pile of garbage, what was that thing that they did? The goddamn car. What was that thing called? Carrie? Not Carrie. That was the one with the little girl. The car. The car. Cujo. That's the fucking dog. When they wanted you to do all that, I said, no, you can't get Richard Widmark. You won't get him to bend over and grab the edge of a table for anything less than the swarm. And, well, don't give me your bullshit, man. Nobody was hiring you then. Look at this shit. So they bring in Henry Fonda. He's got the name tag. He's wearing a bow tie. Nice, no, mustache, glasses. This is his... Michael Caine is standing there in the 1970s leisure suit, only he does have a dicky or a turtleneck of some kind, so it sort of looks cool. But the jacket has the elbow patches. I don't know. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Right. Catherine Ross, Slim Pickens, Nose Pickens. Wait, who else? I'm just okay. That's it. All right, great. Now, then we go to music. God, this movie. I mean, I'm not putting it down, you know, but it's just like fucking nutty. Now we're getting close to showtime. Get our sound effects ready here for Harvey Weierman. Harvey, of course, let's roll over here to our whatever this is. Where? Oh yeah. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. Doo doo doo. It's factual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity doo da. My oh my my my. Oh, my, hi, my, oh, my, 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 my. Listen to this.
Hi, Phil. Yeah, it's Don Berman. Well, right now I'm out here in right near Interstate 5, where I have been left by a news crew. I didn't want to be put on... I didn't want to be put on the air. And I don't know why he did that.
What are you doing, bud?
It's me. I need a ride, okay? I need a ride, and I need it now. Yeah, I need a ride. I'm off of... Right now, I'm off of Highway 61 Revisited. I don't know, man. Phil, it's bad. It's really... It's bad, and it's getting worse. All right.
No, wait a minute, man. Wait a minute, man. Hold on, man. I didn't know. All right. I got to get a... what am I... Oh, yeah. Phone bed. Kurt Queedy got Barton. Now, they're always at Rosie's. And the other thing that I want to do here is... Ted's apparently steakhouse. Come on, Dowa Wown. All right, we're almost ready to go in. Radio car interview. Ah, bedroom love train. People all over the world join in. Cell phone. Well, this is a crowded cafe. That's good. I like that one. All right. Well, we're ready to go here, folks. So without further ado, stand by for new. Stand by to get booed. Show claimer. Ready.
Ready.
There's our show claimer and the music. And now. Here we go. Testing 1 2 3 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 1 1 1 1. Test 1 2 1 2 1. No, that's not the one, man. Hey, what happened to this? Okay. All right, I'm set to go, Jack.